This is the first Sunday of Advent, and you're going to hear a lot of words the next 4 or 5 weeks, and we're going to interchange them. Some will be called faith, some will be called love, hope, trust, a variety of different words. And it really doesn't matter which Sunday they're used, because we will use them as Christians all our lives. And that's one thing I like about the idea of Advent. It gives us a reinforced security and encouragement as we enter the last part of the year. As you know, things, by the time we're finishing the year, we're all fatigued and tired. And I don't know about you, I don't even watch the news anymore. I read about it some, but I think we find that we're hit from every corner with the news, and you don't know who to believe, and by the time it's over, you're almost depressed just watching and hearing about what's going on. But there's good news, and good news is found in the Bible today. You know, we have now moved on from the turkey and dressing mentality of Thanksgiving and advanced toward the mistletoe and holly of Christmas. Yet beneath our holiday cheer is a warm and cuddly nostalgia and a deep spiritual hunger that this season inevitably uncovers. This is the reason that the spiritual vitality of the church during Advent season is so uniquely comforting. With our hymns and worship, the church seems to be out of sync with the secular world. During Advent, we are reminded that as Christians, we are transformed by the astounding good news of our faith. We can all use it when we find ourselves in tough places. But you know, you can find Christ through this season in Advent. You may have not found him on Black Friday at Walmart, but Christ is here. We have no qualms or reservations about that. Think about, as we start Advent, where you see Christ every day. That's the important thing we have to remember, and especially in the tough places. Marshall Sanders is a missionary to the Holy Land. He's a Presbyterian missionary to the Holy Land. For a number of years, he has quietly ministered to a small Arab Christian population on the occupied West Bank. Amidst violence and killings and hunger, he offers love, a ministry which gives hope amidst the hostility. One Christmas several years ago, Marshall decided to make the impossible possible. You know what he did? With the strict security and close monitoring of the Palestinians, he travels to the holy Christian shrines from the West Bank became almost impossible. However, Reverend Sanders borrowed a car from the Roman Catholics, gasoline from the Baptist, and a spare tire from the Church of England mission. He then started out early on a Sunday morning, just 2 days prior to Christmas, to procure some passes for members of his congregation and other churches too. Immediately, he was stopped at one of the checkpoints. However, because Sanders was an American, he was permitted to continue on his way. Arriving in Jerusalem, Sanders received greetings from the Patriarch of the Orthodox Church, and Sanders told him what he was there for. The Patriarch said, "Well, how many do you need?" Before Sanders could think, he said, "About 700, and guess what? He got those 700 passes, and graciously from the Patriarch of the Orthodox Church there. Later that night, as he was traveling home, he again entered the same checkpoint, but this time he was stopped by an M16 rifle nervously waving in his face. Sanders' baggage was searched while his car was completely dissected. They took the gas tank out, the seats, the motor, and everything. They checked everything in that car to see if he was smuggling, and they couldn't find a thing and reassembled it again, and he was released. Arriving home, Sanders was greeted by a large crowd, and this joyful throng visited Presbyterian, Anglican, Baptist, Russian Orthodox, and Roman Catholic churches, distributing those passes so that these Arab Christians could visit those holy shrines in Bethlehem and Jerusalem without fear of harassment. Sanders' reflections on that day are at the very heart of this message. The good news that hope is always stronger than despair. Remember, hope is always stronger than despair. Even when we think we're caught up in a whirlwind, just cling to that hope. It will get you through it. Sanders wrote, "Christmas is a wonderful and most sacred time, but getting those passes was the biggest event in years, for these people have been denied entrance into the most sacred shrines in Christendom. In a brief moment, the Christians in the West Bank were reconnected with the incarnation of God in human form, born in a manger, which is the miracle of hope." Christ tells us that people of faith do not escape the traumas of our world. We experience them just like everybody else. You remember that book came out years ago, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, by Rabbi Kushner, I think was his name. The reason is that even though bad things do happen to good people, we live with the hope and conviction that God is in charge. We must remember that God is in charge, because as Christians, we share God's hope to the world. The hope we carry is God's promise fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Basically, these Bible verses reveal, yes, bad things may happen to good people, but God stands with us. God stands with us. Marie Corrine Morrison Claiborne Boggs, otherwise known as Lindy Boggs of New Orleans, served as a congresswoman from 1973 to 1991. She was born on a large sugar plantation, attended convent school, and married Hale Boggs, who became assistant majority leader of the U.S. House of Representatives. In 1972, on a campaign tour of Alaska to help a candidate win an election, Hale Boggs' plane disappeared, never to be found. And guess what? They had a vacancy. And guess what? They made a motion to make Lindsay the new congresswoman from Louisiana. She said that she was not anticipating, but somehow, instead of throwing her hat in the ring, they threw her in the ring instead. But she served with distinction as the first woman congressman from Louisiana, with a southern accent so melodious, with an impeccable refinement of the old French quarter. She was loved by all in Washington and New Orleans. Senator Jesse Helms once asked her, "What's a nice girl like you doing in a cesspool called Washington?" Lindy persevered through good times and bad. In 1990, her eldest daughter, Barbara, died of cancer. She said she was retiring because she said, "I can't hug Barbara from the Capitol building." As with her husband's death, she faced those terrible moments with a lot of gumption and conviction. Lindy moved forward through the thick veil of grief with a description of how she did it. Her remedy for recovery was to continue helping others, not sit down and have a pity party. I know a woman, it's about 10 years ago, her grandson was tragically killed in a Jeep accident. She was a member of my church. I counseled with her till I was blue in the face. She never could move on. And to this day, she still blames herself on her grandson's death for something. She says God punished her. And as much as you try to tell her God does not punish you for things like that, she still believed it, and she's never moved it. The grief she experienced is the same grief she experienced the moment she found out her grandson was dead. So she's just about gone off the deep end. We can't do that, or we're denying our faith. We have to let our faith kick in and take control when those things happen to all of us. And we've been there. We've all been there. But we've got to hand it over to God. If not, we're going to lose it. We may even end up in a straitjacket. So we have to allow God to take control of that. But the source that Lindy, as I said, attributed was her deep, abiding, and hope-filled religious faith. That's what got her through losing her husband and losing her daughter. You know, incidentally, Lindy's youngest daughter was well-known ABC and National Public Radio news journalist Cokie Roberts. And Cokie's written a lot of books, and she's dead now. But when Lindy retired, Miss Lindy wasn't finished yet with service to her country. Lindy was appointed by President Clinton as the first woman ambassador to the Holy See. Cokie remarked that God must have arranged this appointment considering all the scandal which took place in Washington during that time. But Lindy was above reproach and a very devout Roman Catholic. Today, people of faith around the world light the first candle as we did earlier in the service in a four-week journey through the season of Advent. Let us end our year of 2021 by handing it over to God and allow God to finish it off with a spiritual bang for all of us, because we all need that reinforced positive spiritual security. Whatever the reason, whatever the background this year we've been through, you know what? God is our hope, and we have to remember that. And we have no other choice. And boy, that's a good choice too, isn't it? When we need to let God take hold of us and say, hey, I'm getting you through this year, and I'm going to get you through in 2022 as well. We are called to wait for God's promise to be fulfilled. It mentions in here something about the second coming, but you know what? We anticipate it already. But let us remember this. We don't have to look at the sky and look at our wristwatch and say, when are you coming back, Lord? We can live it right now by being in anticipation of it and being prepared in our hearts. Never forget that when people try to scare you or some tell you something, because we don't have to be scared, because we are in God's hands and in God's care, regardless of whatever happens. So don't ever underestimate God. Don't ever think, you know, God is turning his back on you and everything. And you know the best thing, and I'm going to say this, and I'm saying tongue in cheek, I love it when God outwits the doctors, don't you? It's amazing what miracles take place. And sometimes we even overlook them. So as we're finishing this year up, start taking an inventory of all the little things God has done for you. And secondly, think about things you could do for God or have done for God this past year. You will be remarkably amazed at all that, because we must rejoice in those small wonders and simple graces during these uncertain days. May it be so for all of us, and may we continue to allow our faith to grow in our Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Oh Lord, sometimes our faith gets battered by events around us. Help us on this first Sunday of Advent to be reminded that we are preparing our hearts for the birth of your Son. Give us grace to cast away the works of negativity and darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us be lighthouses in our community to shine your grace upon people who are in great need. We pray, O Lord, let us walk in humility, that we may reveal your glory to those in need. Help us, O Lord, and we thank you, O Lord, you have given us life immortal through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now stand and affirm our faith in the Lord Jesus through the creed this morning. And it's found on page 12. You don't have it memorized. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.